The 5 Steps for Moving from Pain to Power is a remarkable formula for transforming your life by releasing the shackles of the past and recapturing the faith, love, and hope for the life you envision. Women's recovery and empowerment coach and best-selling author Mal Duane guides and supports you through the 5 powerful steps from her best-selling book, Alpha Chick. Transformation is possible when you discover the powerful Alpha Chick, the awakened woman within. For more tools to support you on your journey, visit alphachick.com.
What we're going to be reviewing today is the 5 steps for moving from pain to power, which I wrote about in the book. And I know that I've been receiving a lot of emails and questions, so that's why I wanted to teach these 2 classes, take everybody through this process. First of all, this is the first teleseminar that we are having, and I will be answering questions at the end of the presentation, so please go to the webcast page to submit your questions, and we will answer those at the end. I know it can be a little daunting to think about transforming and a personal journey of transformation, but your life is easier than you think it is. And there are 5 very simple but powerful steps of faith, which we're going to review today together. What I would like to do is set an intention for the group today. And I always like to do this before we start a class, would be that we all take a deep breath in, a nice cleansing breath in, and our intention is to stop all our negative self-talk, all our racing thoughts, and to open our hearts to being receptive to new ways of thinking and to that divine teacher which is within all of us. And as we exhale, I'd like us to release our limiting beliefs, our worries, our fears, and anything that may be troubling you at this moment so that you can enjoy this class fully. First of all, before I touch upon the first step, I'd like to talk a little bit about what is an alpha chick. An alpha chick is an awakened woman. She taps into a higher consciousness, a higher way of thinking that's actually available to all of us. She's authentic. That means that she's living her life in truth. She accepts herself just the way she is. She's not trying to be something else. And she's abundant. She's creating her own experience. She's the deliberate creator of her own life. And that is what an alpha chick is. These 5 steps will support you in this process of becoming an alpha chick. The first step is focus. And when I talk about focus, what I mean is it's a shift. Instead of looking outside of yourself for answers and validation, you're going to shift and you're going to start looking within. The second step is acceptance and attitude. And when I talk about acceptance, it means that we accept ourselves just the way we are. We learn to love ourselves just the way we are. We stop the resistance. It's the resistance that's causing us pain. And when we accept ourselves and our lives just the way they are, amazingly, our attitudes start to change along with that. And everything just seems to lighten up. That heavy burden that we've been carrying lightens up and it starts to disappear. The third step is identification and intention. And what do we mean by that? We mean that we identify what we are doing as far as self-sabotaging behaviors. What is keeping me from being the woman I want to be? And when we can identify those behaviors, then we can set new intentions. And new intentions are right actions. They're right action steps, things that are going to take you to where you want to be in life. The fourth step that we're going to be discussing in detail is thought. And there's been so much written about the power of positive thinking. And I frequently say to women, you can only hold one thought at a time. So why not make it a good one? And we will elaborate on this. And the fifth step is healing and helping. And once we have healed, and we are going to feel that, we need to go and turn and help others, find their power, find their self-love. And when we go and help others, these are esteemable acts. These are things that are going to make us feel even better about ourselves. And it really comes down to the law of circulation. What you give out in life is what you will attract, what you will bring back to yourself. So that's a summary of the five steps. What will these steps do for you? They're going to help you clarify who you truly are and what you really want out of life. What is your purpose? Why are you here? If they are going to help you release your limiting behaviors, these are things that continually we do that cause us pain. So you're going to identify those things, those limiting behaviors, those negative thoughts, and release them. And then you're going to set new intentions. And these intentions will be steps to help you create the life you want, the life you're here for, that you are meant to live. And how do we do all of this? There's a foundation to this process. And the foundation to the process is by starting a spiritual practice. And a spiritual practice is something that we create personally. There's no right or wrong way to do this. It's a personal experience, and we make it our own. One of the things that I recommend for creating a spiritual practice is to create a space that you can go to every day, in your home, in your apartment. It doesn't have to be big, a small, wonderful little space where you, when you go there, you unwind. You stop all the crazy thinking, all that racing mind. You slow down. It can be just a wonderful cushion or a chair or even sitting on a floor, whatever you're comfortable with. But it should be the same place every day that you're going to go to stop all the distraction, all the noise, everything that's going on in your life. You want to decorate this sacred space and bring in a fragrant candle, some wonderful photographs of people you love or places that you love, maybe some of your favorite inspirational quotes. I have little medals that I collect on trips, and I have little Buddhas that I pick up on different trips. And I have everything on a tray that I bought so that if I have to move my space for some reason, I have that flexibility. And I've actually posted a picture up on AlphaChick sharing my sacred space, my tray. But you can put all of this out, and you just create something that when you look at it, brings you a very a sense of comfort and relaxation. But the key thing is that you must go to this spot daily. This is where you're going to connect. This is where your energy is going to start to change. And when you're in this sacred space that you've created, this is when you start tapping into the stillness. You will discover that the wisdom, the inner teacher that you are looking for will start to come through. It will start to happen. It will happen with practice, but it does happen. But you need to be in that sacred space, that stillness, to start to have that happen for you. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the first step and starting in detail a little bit about this. When you start to shift and you close your mind down and you start to concentrate on your breathing and you start to connect with that inner wisdom, that divine presence that is within you, this is when you start to discover who you truly are. This is when you're going to hear your authentic voice. And there are several things that you can do to support this shift of focus. One of them is through meditation, which is closing your eyes and the deep breathing. But if you're a beginner and you're not quite comfortable with meditation, you can do it through prayer, or you can do it through writing, through journaling. You can find a way to connect to that inner voice. It's inside of you, and you're going to know it as soon as you find it, because you're going to have this amazing sense that it just feels right. I actually use all three components. I start my daily practice, and I read some spiritual material. Then I do my meditation. And after my meditation, I do some journaling, some writing, because I get beautiful, beautiful messages after the meditation. And I write these down, and many times there are lessons in there for me for that day, things that I need to think about or work on. So it's a very powerful experience. Take time to ask yourself poignant and revealing questions when you're shifting your focus, because your subconscious is going to make room for the answers for you. Your transformation begins when you have the courage to honestly examine your beliefs and your addictive behaviors, and that is what the focus is all about. Now we're going to talk a little bit about acceptance and attitude, the second step of the five steps of faith. Acceptance is a very, very hard step for women because we're constantly resisting. We want to resist things that have happened in our lives. We're constantly rehashing in our minds something that happened a month, 2 months, a year ago. We're redoing the dialogue. Well, acceptance is not making that incident right or wrong. It's not judging it. It's strictly acknowledging it happened. I can't rewrite the script. I can't take it away. It happened, but I can release it. I do not have to hold on to that and keep fighting that situation. So acceptance, if we can accept our disappointments, our fears and sorrows, so that we may free ourselves from a past that no longer serves us, we can consciously change our attitude so that we may live a joyous life that's always available to us. With practice, acceptance becomes easier. And there are many things that happen to us as women, whether it be a failed relationship, whether it be a divorce, whether we lose a job, which is very prevalent right now in current circumstances and in the current times. If we can just accept that this thing has happened, but then stop the resistance to it and start to process that this is not defining who you are. This is not your identity. This is not who you are today, what happened yesterday. You can release, and when you release, your attitude starts to change and you start to free yourself from these blocks that have been keeping you from your positive energy and keeping you tied to the past. So we've talked about the fact that you need to identify what has happened in your past, stop resisting it, and once you accept these things, you'll notice that your attitude will change. Step three, identification and intention. This is one of my favorite ones because I had so many things that I needed personally to give up. I had so many negative behaviors, so many addictive behaviors that were holding me back from my true potential. So this was a step that was so empowering for me. In this step, I encourage you to identify three negative behaviors that block your potential. Then set intentions for positive actions so that you can change these behaviors. The main idea behind identification and intention is to map out a new way to actively change your life. And I feel that our lives have four very distinct quadrants. We have a mental emotional quadrant, a spiritual area, a financial career area, and our physical realm. So if you can identify three things, and I'd only start with three, and I think it, for most of us, it's pretty easy to know what those three things are, because those are the three things that are causing us the most pain, causing us to feel less about ourselves, and also you're not overwhelming yourself in trying to take on too much too soon. For instance, you could set an example that you're drinking too much, or you're eating too much food, or you have too much negative self-talk, or you're procrastinating too much on pursuing job opportunities, new job opportunities. Identify these, and I just want to interject, there is a quadrant sheet on the Alpha Chick website. If you would like to download that form, or you can just create your own sheet with four areas and pick three things, as I've mentioned, and post them in the appropriate areas. So for me, I was drinking too much and I wanted to stop drinking. So I had to identify positive action steps that would help me stop that negative self-sabotaging behavior. And so what I did was, I said, one of my action steps was that instead of when I came home at 5 o'clock and immediately fixing myself a drink, I would go out for a walk. And two, I wanted to try to have a healthier diet. So I consciously made an effort to go to the supermarket and get fresh vegetables and healthier foods. Three, I stayed away from friends who were not supportive of me not drinking or of eating well. I kind of stayed away from my party friends. So those were three positive action steps that I was going to take so that I could stop the self-sabotaging behaviors that were holding me back. In setting those new intentions, what was happening was I was consciously, actively seeking to change my life. And when you do that, you will learn to work positively and consistently to get things that you want out of life, whether you want to give up an abuse of food or alcohol or anything else that you're taking too much of, if you want to attract a new love in your life, if you want a bigger house, if you want a better job or a closer relationship with your family. By setting these new intentions, you are able, not only with your own energy now with this intention, but you're attracting universal energy by setting an intention. And in many of the dialogues I've had with women about intentions, a question always comes up. Why now an intention? Why not write my goals? Well, goals are like wishful thinking on paper. When you set an intention, you are putting your soul behind that intention. It has much more energy, much more commitment. And that's why intentions will manifest faster than a goal because of the energetic commitment that you have put behind it. So, hopefully after today's call, you'll be ready to start setting some new intentions in your life so that you can create a new vision for an exceptional life filled with well-being. It's a very, very powerful process. Think about the ways that you can actively change your life. Look at those four quadrants, post them to a form, and then set the next steps, your positive action steps, your new intentions for that transformation. I encourage everybody that's listening to this today that when you start on this process, please email me because I want to know how you're progressing. And if you get hung up on something, please email me, let me know, and we will work through it together. Because this is a very, very powerful part of the transformational process. The fourth step is thoughts. And we've all read a lot of material about the power of what we think. But we don't really hold on to just how powerful they are. I think we all forget that what we think about is ultimately what we are going to attract into our lives. And you'll notice, especially as you work through these five steps of faith, that you tend to repeat patterns in your life. And one of these patterns is reverting back to past negative feelings when we're in a place of insecurity. We need to pay attention to those thoughts when we start reverting back. So in this step, I ask you to shift your thoughts to the present, to where you are today. When you find yourself reverting to the past, the pessimistic thoughts, and the damaging feelings, we'll identify these self-defeating thoughts, and we're going to discover ways to deal with them, including creating affirmations that will help you shift from the past back to the present. I think as women, we hold on to our past like it's old luggage, and we just keep dragging it around with us and dragging it around with us. I know personally that all the things that happened to me that hurt me as a young woman created my identity and how I felt about myself. And ultimately, that low self-esteem and that low self-worth and always looking for validation in others is what motivated me to drink. I didn't really have an addiction in the sense that I had a physical need. I had an emotional need. And this is very common with women. I had a wonderful discussion yesterday with Sherry Gaber out in LA, and she's on Celebrity Rehab. And we were talking about women's emotional needs is what creates us to abuse things, including ourselves. So if you've been working these steps, and they build upon one another, it's a process, it flows. The focus goes to the acceptance, and then after the acceptance, we work with intention and identification and intention. And now we're at our thoughts. So if you've been working them faithfully, you should start to feel that you are getting your power back because you are now connecting to self-love and self-esteem, and you are feeling your self-worth. You're accepting and releasing your past mistakes and the people that caused you pain. You now know your true identity. It's this divine essence that you were born with, which has nothing to do with any person, place, or thing from your past. You now experience a new belief system, and you have the ability to create the life you desire. I wrote yesterday, when it was the first day of spring, there could not be a more perfect time to start this process. And I wrote yesterday on Facebook, be conscious of the seeds you plant in your mental garden. Because what you plant now is what you will experience tomorrow. That's what's going to blossom in that garden. So it is so important to pay attention to what is going through our minds. I used to wear a rubber band around my wrist, and every time I caught myself reverting back to negative thinking about myself, about my past, things that I felt, the mistakes I had made and things that I did that I did not feel good about, I would pull that elastic band and it would snap on my wrist. And that was my correction. It was just a little snap to say, wait a minute, time to stop. Time to shift my thinking to thoughts that are going to empower me and help me. So I can't emphasize enough paying attention to that. It's so, so important. As we progress through this and now you are feeling better about yourself as you work these first four steps, you're starting to think thoughts that empower you. You're now really understanding your true identity, you're feeling your power, you're in touch with that internal teacher that is within all of us, but we're never taught how to access it. And this is what this process is going to do. You're going to find your authentic voice. When you do all of this, the first four steps, you are now in a state of healing and helping. And this is such a wonderful, wonderful place to be at in life. On the cover of my book, Alpha Chick, I am sitting on the fifth step, and that is the step of healing and helping. I know I have healed all my old wounds. I know I have accepted myself for who I am. I love myself today for who I am. And I've accepted my journey. It made perfect sense. I was meant to travel the path that I traveled because it brought me to this point of writing a book and sharing this message of personal transformation to women everywhere, that they too can use these five steps to change their lives. It can change anything. Anything that's going on in your life, these five steps can change that situation for you. And this fifth step is, I heal by reaching out and I share my journey with others, especially those in need. And that's what motivated me. I wanted to share my journey. I'm just the woman from next door who had a pretty rough ride for 25 years before I had a spiritual awakening and discovered who I truly was. As an Alpha Chick, as that awakened, authentic, and abundant woman, you can share this knowledge and you can help other women to learn to tap into their power. And when you are doing this, you also continue to heal. You get stronger by giving away your knowledge and your power. It reinforces you. You must reach out and help others on their journey. And I talked briefly when introducing the five steps about the law of circulation. There's two universal laws. One is called the circulation. The other one is called reciprocity. Either one of these, that's really what happens. You are now giving out another form of energy to the universe. You are giving empowerment, knowledge, and support to other women. And when you do this, this is what comes back to you in life. It circulates and it returns back. And that's why this fifth step is so spectacular, because you are doing good. You are doing esteemable acts to help others. And it's a wonderful thing when we take ourselves out of thinking about ourselves all the time. And when we think about others, it's when we really feel very, very good about ourselves. It's when our focus is not on us, but on others and helping others. It's a very empowering tool, and it builds such wonderful self-esteem and self-love. As I mentioned, when I started to write this book, I was at my fifth step of helping and healing. And my mission now is to share this message with the world, with as many women as I possibly can, because I know that this process works. And if you commit to it, and you stay with it. It's not a quick fix. This is not a Band-Aid, an instant fix. This does take some discipline, but this is not hard to do. And when you commit to do this and then go and teach other women, whether it be one person at a time or more, we're collectively improving the universe. And by starting to identify one service that you could perform, and then identify one individual that you know would benefit from that, you are, in fact, at the fifth step of the process of faith. Share your knowledge. And as you do, you're going to become more focused, more enlightened, and more powerful than you ever thought possible. Practice these steps, and you will become your own unique brand of Alpha Chick. Alpha has a funny, has an interesting meaning. The Greek interpretation, definition, is beginning. A lot of people think, oh, alpha, like the alpha dog at the park. But really, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of this empowerment for women, of discovering how beautiful and how divine we truly are. We were born to live on this earth and have a wonderful life and have everything we want out of life. We were not put here to suffer. Unfortunately, as we grow, we are subject to other people's opinions, filters that are put on us from society, from media, and from all kinds of influences outside of ourselves that take away that feeling of perfection that we felt as a child. It's now time to recapture that, to bring back that feeling of perfection, because we really are perfect beings. Women are perfect, divine beings. And we all have the ability to reclaim that wonderful self-love, that purpose in our life, to have clear vision about who and what we want to be. And through this five-step process, you are able to do that. What I'd like to do now is see if, in fact, we have some nice questions that have come in. Devorah, I know you've been monitoring the webcast panel for us, and to see if any of our listeners have sent in specific questions on the process.
Yes, Mal. That, first of all, that was fantastic and very enriching conference. I appreciate you sharing that. I know that your message is helping a lot of people realize, first of all, that they're not alone, and secondly, that there is a way out, and that it doesn't matter how long we've been stuck, whether it's been a short period of time or a long period of time, that there's a way to a better life. So thank you for sharing your wisdom.
And a wonderful point. It doesn't make any difference if someone has been in a dark hole for 3 months, 3 years, or 20 years. I mean, my own personal experience went on for 25 years. Before I had an awakening. But once I had that awakening, I never looked back. And that's now been 23 years of absolute bliss. I mean, I have my moments. I'm not saying we all won't have our moments, but now we know how to deal with those moments. Now we know how to handle what life throws at us. There will always be things that will come, because we do not have control over other people or things, so situations will come up that will challenge us. But the key thing is to look at these challenges that present themselves and look for the wisdom in the challenge, not the pain, not the fear, but the wisdom. Everything has a lesson to it, something that we can learn from that will teach us something about ourselves and where we're going. And that is key. When something happens that doesn't go the way you want it, look at it and ask yourself, what's really going on here? And what should I be looking at? What should I learn from this experience? There's something here that's going to empower me. What is it? And with that frame of mind, you can work through anything.
Well, Mal, we have some great questions coming through. And for our listeners, if you're on the webcast page, you'll see a Q&A box. You can simply enter your question there, and I can access them from this end. So let me ask our first question. Our first question comes from Helen in California. And mm-hmm. she asks, could you explain a little more what personal transformation is?
Yes. Helen, great question. Personal transformation is when we can pull all the parts of our lives together and have everything work in a wonderful synchronicity. Let me give you an example. A woman that's overweight, she pursues dieting frantically, but that's all she does. She's only addressing one issue, the fact that she's overweight. And when you just work on one negative thing, it doesn't mean that everything else is going to work smoothly. So what this five-step process does is it works on all components of our lives. It works on the mental. It works on the spiritual. It works on the emotional. We work on the financial. We pull everything together so it works as a cohesive unit. And that way you experience personal transformation, a growth, a change, a dramatic change in your life from where you are to where you want to be.
There's a question from Barbara from Florida, and she asks a difficult question. So I'd like love your intake, your input on this, because I'm sure, Barbara, that you're not alone in this. This is common, which Mal will address. So Mal, Barbara asks, she's been in an abusive relationship for 2 years, but she's afraid to leave. What should she do?
Barbara, I'm going to assume when you say abusive that it's verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, and potentially physically abusive. As women, we make excuses when people treat us poorly because we unfortunately think that we're the cause of that bad behavior. And we say, oh, well, what did I do to cause this? What did I say to cause that behavior? But that is never the case. Abusive behavior is the other person's problem. It is not your problem. You did not create that behavior. The partner, the person you're with, I don't know if it's a relationship or a marriage, but as a woman, you should never be subjected to abusive behavior. We tolerate it because of a lack of self-love. But once you restore your self-esteem and your self-worth, you will start to identify that this behavior is inappropriate and that you deserve better. If you're in a relationship that is physically abusive, you need to walk away from that situation immediately, because that means danger. And no one has the right to subject you to being in danger and to being physically abusive. Nobody has the right to be verbally and emotionally abusive to you. But when you cross the threshold of physical, then you need to make an immediate exit. And I know it can be very fearful to walk away from a relationship because we say, well, will I ever get anybody else? You know, will they come after me? What will happen? If you feel that there's a threat that someone will retaliate against you, then maybe you need to seek guidance or report the situation to the proper authority if you feel there is that kind of physical threat. But if you can get away from this situation, relocate yourself from this situation, and work on this process of building your self-esteem and your self-love, you will see that you do not need to live this way, you do not need to have that kind of relationship, and that you do deserve better. And you will attract better if you can pull yourself away from it, because the way you think about yourself is what's creating this abuse in this relationship in a very indirect way. This person knows they can get away with it because they know you do not have self-esteem. Otherwise, they would not do this if they thought that, you know, they could not get away with it. So it's very, very important to look very hard and very honestly at this situation and start to make some immediate changes.
Nancy in Colorado asks a question about intentions and goals. She said that you explained the difference between an intention and a goal. How are they different, and can you give an example of a goal stated as a goal and stated as an intention?
I did discuss a little bit about the energy behind goals and intentions. When we do goals, we've always been instructed, oh, write down your goals for getting a new job, or write down your goals for the new year. And lots of times, or your New Year's resolutions, things like that. What happens is when we write these things down, and I'm a believer in writing things down because I think when we write things down, we get very, very clear on what we're trying to do. But when you write it a goal down, it's on paper, and then nothing else happens. There is no follow-up to that goal unless you create a very thought-out, well-planned 4, 5, 6 steps for that goal. But most people don't do that. They just have their wish list of goals. And therefore, there's not a plan of action to support the goal. But when you set an intention for a positive action, something new, first of all, you're replacing a void. You've identified a negative behavior. You're now replacing it with a new intention. So you've created a space here where you're putting this new intention. So you're filling a void. Secondly, the intention has so much more emotion and energy behind it. It's a greater sense of commitment on your part. And the intention is actually the action step. That's the difference. Because you're writing down intentions are positive action steps. So it's a process of fulfillment, rather than saying, I want to lose weight. That's a goal. But if you say, I'm going to eat a healthy breakfast, that's an intention. I'm going to have a shake at lunch, that's an intention. That's a right action step. At dinner, I'm going to have protein and vegetables. That's a right action step. So that's the difference. Is because the intention is actually an action step. It's something you are going to do.
I love that clarity, that an intention is an action step. That makes it very easy to see, is there a verb in the question, in the statement? That's powerful. Thank you. Tanya asks a question. She's from Fall River, and she says, I'm very excited to join the conference. I don't get a chance to go out of town. I don't get a chance to go to the out-of-town conferences. My question is, do you get strength from God for this, or do you get your strength from the program and integrate it into your life?
Wonderful, wonderful question, Tanya. You're obviously a believer of God, and I am too, but not everybody is. But yes, God, which is our higher power, our divine guidance, our higher consciousness, that Christ consciousness, I'll use that term, you're a believer in God, that is our true direction in life. That's our true guidance. That's how we learn. That's our wisdom that we were born with that we can access. And that wisdom, that communication or influence of God in our lives is very, very powerful in conjunction with working these five steps. And when I talk about the focus, for me, it is that first step is shifting and connecting with my Christ consciousness, that higher consciousness that's available to me. But not everybody believes in God. And so I want people to be comfortable that it's still there for them. Whatever they want to call it, whether it be Mother Universe, Spirit Guide, Guardian Angel, whatever the terminology is that feels right is fine. But Tanya, for you and me, yes, we have a connection to God that leads us and guides us to make the right choices in our life. And by settling down, quieting our minds down, getting still, we are able to access that guidance. I hope that helps.
We have another question along those lines from Cindy in North Hampshire, and from New Hampshire, and she says, what if I have trouble believing in God?
Cindy, when I first started this process and this path, my faith in God was not very good. I was raised as a Catholic, so to me, Catholicism, religion, was about guilt. It was about being reprimanded for things. And so I did not have a good connection to my faith as a young woman. For me, it was just a huge guilt thing. But as I started to progress on my spiritual path, my spiritual awakening, my personal transformation, I soon discovered in sobriety that there was definitely a force, an energy that was far more powerful than I was. And when I'm talking about force or energy, I'm talking about the one that created the universe, that has all the trees bloom, that keeps the sky blue, that kind of universal energy. Now, if that's God to some, great. If it's universal energy to others, that's fine too. But I heard a voice when I started my journey that gave me instructions, very specific instructions on how I would survive. But I had work to do and I had lessons to learn. And when I finished with my lessons and I mastered them, I would need to go and teach others. I recognized that voice was definitely something far greater than me. And that voice is available to you. And for you, it may not be God. It may be just a higher power. And that's the way I looked at it for a very long time. I said, this higher power is guiding me. I've since gone a step further, and I now believe that it's really my divine connection that is guiding me. So if you have trouble believing in God, that's okay. That's not part of it. You don't have to believe in God to make this work for you, to experience the level of personal transformation that you may want. It's perfectly fine.
Sharon in New Jersey asks, if we are not put on this earth to experience suffering, why is there suffering in the world?
Oh, that's a tough one. Unfortunately, life is not a bowl of cherries. And things happen because we cannot control other people. We can only control ourselves and what we think. And there is suffering in the world because of unconscious behavior from other people. And that's what creates some of the tragedies we've experienced, 9/11, things like that. That was unconscious behavior and hatred and fear that caused that. If we can understand that there are other mindsets out there, there are people that think differently than we do, all we can do is send love. We have to keep our hearts open, even for the person that hurts us personally. If we can forgive, and I tell women who've been through some really, really awful things with abuse and whatnot, forgiveness frees us. You're not doing it for the other person. You're freeing yourself by forgiveness. You're letting the perpetrator, the violator, that person, you're releasing them by forgiveness. You're empowering yourself. And by sending love out to the world, to the people that are creating these acts, that hopefully, we pray, that love will be absorbed in an unconscious way that may help them change their mindset. It's the universe. There will always be, you know, people that are going to create suffering for others. So all we can do is forgive those people and then consciously send love and support to the people that have been hurt and also to the perpetrators so that maybe they will sense that and start to make a shift in their own thinking process. That's a tough question.
That's a big question. But it also gives a sense of a bigger purpose.
Yes.
And then we have our last question coming in from Mary from Austin. And she asks, do you offer personal coaching services? And how can she find out more?
Yes, I do. And Mary, thank you for asking that. If you go to the website alphachick.com, alphachick.com, there you can reach out to me by email, and there's a form that you can just fill out, and your email is protected. We will not abuse it. And reach out to me. I will be happy to follow up with you personally to see what your needs might be and what would work best for you. But yes, I am available to work with you one-on-one.
Perfect. And that looks like a wrap from this end.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I am honored to be able to share this information. And thank you all, and God bless you all. It's been an honor to spend today with you.